Open your Bible to Numbers. Numbers. I'm going to mention some Bible names of some fellows. Maybe you're familiar with them. Shamua, Shaphat, Egal, Palti, Gadil, Gadi, Amiel, Sethur, Nabi, and Guel. Remember those names? Did I read those backwards? Did I mispronounce those names? You know why you don't remember those names? Because those were the 10 spies out of the 12 spies who brought back a bad report. So do you remember Joshua and Caleb? Why do you remember them? Because they had a different spirit. Because they were faith people. The other guys were doubters. And you just never hear anything about doubters. So let's read here Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel." That's a key statement there. So God gives you the plan and the end and the secret from the beginning. Go tell them to spy out the land which I'm going to give them. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So Moses sent from the wilderness of Paran according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Now these were their names: from the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, the son of Zakur; from the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hora, and all those fellows I already mentioned. Then Caleb, from the son of Jephunneh. And then verse 8, tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, that's Joshua, the son of Nun. It wasn't a nun, and he wasn't the son of no one. He was just the son of Nun. That was the name. And then all the other guys, so he picked leaders of the tribes of Israel and sent them out. It's interesting, God said, "I am giving this to them. I am giving this to them." God already knew, and you have to wonder, how come Moses just didn't say, "Well, just take it. We don't need to go spy it. You're giving it to us. We'll just go take it." Well, I think God already knew the hearts of men, and he knew that not everybody's going to get to go in. I mean, didn't he know everything? Doesn't he know everything from the end, from the beginning to the end? So he knew that there was doubters, and he knew he had to filter them out. So he made them go in there and prove it to them.
Right.
Possibly. Yes. Bottom line is 12 went in, and 2 came out positive, 10 came out negative. Where are you going to come out?
Uh-oh.
When you hear of a promise from God, what are you going to do? So let's just get a basis for this, then we'll go through it. So verse 25, they returned from spying out the land after 40 days, departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation. Verse 27, or I'll just read it. All the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh, they brought back word to them, and all the congregation showed them the fruit of the land. They told them and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people that dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." And then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Sometimes you got to quiet all the doubters. The doubters always want to talk first, seems. But the men who'd gone up with him said, "We're not able to go up against the people. They're stronger than we." Hey, circumstances look big and threatening and impossible. They gave the children of Israel a bad report. The Spirit calls it a bad report. They gave the children of Israel a bad report. What do bad reports do to you? They make your heart sink. Bad reports cause doubt and unbelief. Bad reports cause fear and dread. Bad reports push you away from the promises of God. What are you going to do when the bad report comes? What are you going to do when the bad report comes? What are you going to do when the circumstances yell at you? What are you going to do when the giant threatens?
Come on,
these are examples for your personal life right here. It's an example for your personal life right here.
Right.
What are you going to do differently? Are you going to be somebody that's different? They brought the bad report saying the land through which we've gone as spies in a land that it's a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Is that how you see yourself? In Christ, do you still see yourself as a grasshopper? If you're going to pick an insect, pick the praying mantis, man. They'll fight anything. Don't be a grasshopper. Don't be small. In your own heart, you have to see yourself mighty. You have to see yourself infused with God Almighty to tackle paper cuts. To tackle everything from the small thing to the big thing, you got to see yourself fully equipped with God to tackle any giant. The problem is people still see themselves feeble. You feel weak. You see yourself in the mirror and think, oh man, I don't know if I have the faith. Man, first of all, your mouth is needs to open right. Some people have crooked mouths is the problem. Really, that's where everything starts. It's you're gonna have to say the right thing. I don't care what you're feeling, you gotta say what's from your heart. So if you've been in church and learning the Bible and praying in tongues and reading your Bible and praying in tongues and reading your Bible and hearing the Word of God taught right, your heart has the truth in it. It's in there, but your mouth can't be crooked. You got to be bold and say it out loud. Be so bold that you're like, oh, did I just say that? So verse 14:1, all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. How much weeping have you done? How much weeping have we done when bad report comes? When threat comes? When hopelessness comes? How much weeping have you done? You wouldn't do it if you had the right heart. Okay? So if you're doing it, it means your heart's just not full of God. Something's gone wrong. Somehow, I know you believe in God in theory. Somehow you forgot the promise. Somehow you lost sight that God is actually with you. Just say amen. Amen, that's right. I have forgotten that occasionally. Nobody likes that. I can tell. Nobody likes that. I don't like that. And all the children that complained. That's next. Complained. Uh-oh. All the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord, now they're going to blame the Lord. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? I mean, complaining can take you pretty south pretty quick, can't it? It can take you all the way completely out of the plan of God just by one little paragraph. How much complaining about God to God have you done? Blaming the Lord. Well, I don't know why the Lord let this. I don't know why God didn't do this. Man, you better hush all that up, or we'll send you out to your wilderness. People say, well, God sent me to the wilderness to... No, you sent your own self out to the wilderness with your own stupidity. People want to claim wilderness. Oh, I've been out in the wilderness. God just put me out in the wilderness so I can learn some lessons. No. You put yourself out there with your doubt and unbelief. God did not want them to stay in the wilderness. They put themselves there because they had an evil report and they complained. So if you're in the wilderness, it's your mouth. You've been complaining. You feel like you've been in the wilderness, it's because you've been complaining.
Good word.
The only other wilderness that's allowed for Christians is the fasting and prayer wilderness, where you don't get beat up. You can be out there with a wild beast and come out just like... The only other wilderness is the Jesus wilderness, where he went with the Spirit to fast and pray and grow. And he came back stronger than ever without any sickness and disease and weakness and loss of life. So if people are claiming wilderness, there's only two wildernesses you get to have. Either one where you really got strong in the Lord because you spent some time in prayer and fasting, or the kind where you got punished for your disobedience. But do you see, have you ever heard about people go, oh, I've been in the wilderness lately? And they're almost proud, oh, I've been in the wilderness and I've been You know, I've been in the wilderness. Oh, it's been a tough time, and God's really been showing me and teaching me. What they're saying is God put them in the wilderness for some testing time and proving time and training. You know, they needed some. No. The only wilderness that if they are in the wilderness, it's because they neglected something of God. People feel specially chosen by God to suffer. Like if I want God involved in my life so much, even if I'm suffering, as long as I know He chose it for me, I can make it through. Like I'm the special one. He only gives trials and troubles to those that can handle it. No, He gives trials and troubles to those that want it. He gives trials and troubles to those that have a crooked mouth and can't talk right. Okay, He doesn't give trials and troubles to anybody. People cause trials and troubles for themselves by not sticking with God. God's not the troublemaker and the trial giver. Life gives you trials. The devil gives you trouble. God is ready to save you from both. But if you're going to have a crooked mouth, He's just going to say, okay, there you go. So verse 6, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes. Tearing your clothes means you don't receive what's been said. It's a form of resistance. And people do it to sin. You know, when sin happens, they tear their clothes, rend their garments, in show of, I'm against this, I repent, I don't appreciate what's been said or done. Verse 7, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land that we passed through to spy out is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Like you're going to have to learn how to eat the giants. Lillian B. Oman said that. She said, I believe in diets. A diet of giants. Those giants are our bread. We'll eat trouble up. You ever thought like that? Oh, I got trouble? Oh, let me eat that up with faith. Amen. Let me just gobble that up. Let me just obliterate that. Let me move that mountain into the sea. Y'all hold on a second. I got to go move a mountain. Hold on, I'll be back. That's a different heart, isn't it? That's a different type of a faith, isn't it? We Christians need that type of a faith where we say, listen, I'm going to eat that thing up. You just hang in there. They are our bread. Their protection's departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. So if you're going to say stuff like this to doubters, get ready. I usually try to instruct us, don't be trying to prove to the unbelievers in your life that you're going to trust God. Don't even attempt it. No need to. It's not like the whole family is going to get the thing like the children of Israel. So in this case, it's just you apply this to yourself personally. But if you're going to vocalize it, your family's going to come against you. And you'll learn real quickly, you don't need them in your journey. You're going to have to do your faith journey alone. Oh, but I want my family. Well, you're not going to get it. You do it by yourself with God, and they can come if they want to. Verse 11, then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me, and how long will they not believe me with all the signs that I performed? I'll strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. Now stop there. This is where God in the Old Testament did have to execute the law of Moses. They'd already received the law of Moses. He had already got the Ten Commandments plus the rest of it, which was, if you don't choose life, then you get the curse. Either you choose life and blessing, or you choose death and curse by disobedience. And God had to cause the curse to come. He had to allow the curse to come upon all disobedience. So in the Old Testament, you'll see that, yes, God did strike. Yes, God did open the earth. Yes, God did send fire from heaven to burn up the doubters and the murmurers and the complainers and the fornicators and all the sinners. You'll see that in the Old Testament. The cross changes it. This is just a quick recap. You know, the cross of Jesus Christ changed it so God does not have to burn you up for your disobedience. It's a good thing, or all of your hair would be singed. You understand the difference? The cross changed everything. That's the moment that God was able to step back and say, whew. Actually, it was before the cross. The moment the Savior was born, whew, God could sit back. Finally, I don't have to send fire to kill sinners. Because there was a remedy for sin in the earth. Before there was a remedy for sin, God had to enact justice immediately. Pretty much immediately. So the cross, or we could say Jesus Christ, changed everything. You need to know that and understand. That's why in the New Testament, you don't see the fire coming from heaven. Even Jesus corrected his disciples. They said, Lord, Lord, these people, you want me to just call fire down from heaven and burn these rebels up? And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. He said, the Son of Man did not come to destroy lives, but to save lives. Now that Jesus is here, God's saving lives, he doesn't have to destroy lives.
Amen.
You got it? There is a judgment day, and there's a final destruction day, and there is a fire for all unbelievers, but that day is not today. He's paused his wrath while this gospel is here. And so God says, I'm just going to wipe them out, Moses. I'm tired of listening to it. Moses says, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't think you ought to do that. So Moses prayed for him. He asked God to have mercy on all these idiots so that Israel wouldn't get a bad reputation. And I'm going to skip some of that, but I'm going to get down to verse 19. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray. This is Moses. According to the greatness of your mercy, just as you've forgiven this people from Egypt even until now, the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. Wow. God just said okay to a man. He just said, okay, I'll pardon him. You want me to? Okay. But truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land that I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. Wow. Gave them a promise. They didn't believe it. They didn't get the promise. Same thing happens to believers. Christians today, he gave them a promise. He gave us all these promises. He gave us a whole Bible full of promises. But if we don't believe it, we don't get the promise. Verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. And that's really the kind of the theme of tonight. You and I are supposed to have a different spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
You're supposed to be a believer. For every promise of God, which we could say is your promised land. Your promised land is that God has given you exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature.
Amen.
That through these promises you can see the goodness, receive the goodness, and thereby understand your nature as a son of God. And if you don't know how to receive promises, you will never understand the goodness of God. And therefore, you'll never understand how in union with him you are, your new nature. Your new nature depends on you understanding the glory of God is yours.
Amen.
So you better start believing the promises. When the paper cut comes, I ain't afraid of no paper cut. Practice there and practice with the headache and practice with a small thing and then get to the bigger thing and say, you know what? I ain't afraid of peanuts anymore. If you have peanut allergies, to be afraid of a peanut, to be concerned about a peanut, to allow a peanut.
That's right.
Give me a, how could you live without peanut butter? Or Listen, when the world or your physiology or your biological whatever tells you no, say, wait a second, I decide for me, you don't decide. The earth doesn't decide, the trees, the nature doesn't decide, the government doesn't decide, my body doesn't tell me what to do. My brain doesn't get to tell me. My spirit man tells me what to do. I get to decide about my own life. Based on the promises of God, I'm deciding. Afraid of a peanut. If you got peanut allergies, fix it.
That's right.
Fix it. Fix it.
That's right.
Let's just pick something easy. Fix it. I'm not putting you down if you have a peanut allergy. I'm not putting you down. Pick something that doesn't really belong in the promised land. You got promised land. Hey, if you want to stay in Egypt regarding all of your problems, fine. But if God gave you a promised land, why don't you go into it?
Amen.
All the different spirit Christians will go into the promised land and say, I'm getting this thing.
Yes.
Now, I'll give you one tip. It's not this. We've taught this before. To get to your promised land, you do have to cross the River Jordan. Promised land was across the River Jordan. So first you have to come through the Red Sea, which is salvation. You have to go through the Red Sea and get delivered from Egypt. Delivered from Satan. You got to get delivered from Satan. Go through the Red Sea. But then you're going to come up against the River Jordan, which is the baptism of the Spirit. When they crossed the River Jordan, the priests took the power of God into it and the Ark of the Covenant. And the waters parted. That's a symbol or a type of the baptism of the Spirit. Once you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, all the promised land is yours. Before you get baptized in the Spirit, it's going to be difficult to have the promised land. It's just going to be difficult to see it and receive it and have faith for it until you really get the fullness of the Spirit. Once you get the fullness of the Spirit, it's like, whoa, I see it now. So that's going to be a help to you if you're going to get the promises. But once you get into the promised land, now you're taking cities. First city you're going to take is Jericho, and then the next and the next. So everything you need in life is in your promised land, but you're going to have to take it. It's not just going to fall in your lap because you got saved or because you got filled with the Spirit or because you're a good person. The promises of God don't happen just because you're a good person. The promises happen because you follow God's Spirit and you shout walls down if that's what it takes. Or you get lanterns and surround the army if that's what he said. And or you instead of 30,000 men, you pare it down to 300 men. You follow the Spirit and you take every city in the promised land. You follow the Spirit and you get healed of this and you get delivered from that and you get the blessing on this. And you start having some faith for your life success. How do you do it? Based on promises, based on words from God, based on leading of the Spirit. And you can have your whole promised land. As long as you have a different spirit. If you have one of these complaining, murmuring spirits, you're not going to get anything. Well, I don't know. You ever done that before? Why is no why is no why praise the Lord. Verse 26, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I've heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. You know, God puts up with all your garbage talk. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, he had already numbered them. Except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you'll by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I'll bring in. and they shall know the land that you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. What do you mean, infidelity? Yeah, they're cheating on God. The infidelity, yeah, they're not faithful. They're not faithful to trust God and go where he wants. How sad would that have been? Can you imagine how sad that news would have been? 40 years. And all the kids are like, Dad, why did you do that? You're supposed to kind of feel the severity of not believing God so that you can apply it to your personal life. It is severe when you don't believe God. When you can hear all these promises on Sunday and never apply them, or never even attempt to apply them. We're not trying to bring condemnation if you've had a hard time getting your faith on. We're not talking about that. We're talking about if you don't even attempt to apply the promises of God. Let's back up here, okay? So let's back up. The goal is to have a different spirit. Are you catching a different spirit here?
Yeah.
Come on, it shouldn't take you long. Listen. To be a faith person, it takes you like two services. To be a faith person with a different spirit who's not afraid of the devil takes you about two services here.
Right.
Two services in a good spirit-filled church is all it takes for you to catch it. Okay, 10 services. But pretty quickly, and I can say that because it only took me, one cassette series. It took me one teaching series to catch the spirit of faith.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Okay. If he can do it, I can do it. I'm going in there.
Hey,
it doesn't take long, but you need to catch the spirit of faith. And we're expecting people to come here catch the spirit of faith.
That's right.
We're not expecting people to come to Houston Faith Church just to have a place to show up occasionally and feel good about themselves. We're here to help you catch the spirit of faith.
Amen.
You're obligated to catch it. Think about it. The children of Moses had this promise from God, this command from God, lead my people out of Egypt. We're about to back up and go see where this all started. Moses had this command and promise from God, and he said, hey, everybody, we're going somewhere. You're supposed to catch it. You're not supposed to argue about it. You're not supposed to resist it. You're supposed to catch it and say, let's do it.
Amen.
Catch the vision of faith. Catch the spirit of faith. Don't sit there being some 30-year-old Christian who never heard these things before. Change.
Amen.
Look, I know everybody grew up in a different spot. Some didn't have any religion in them. Some had bad religion. Some had, you know, bad teaching. Some had this denomination or that. I don't care where you came from. Catch it now.
Yeah.
Say, you know what? I've been missing stuff. Let's jump in this. It sounds different. You need a different spirit. People feel so proud. Oh, wait, there's a problem. Proud about my religion. Proud about how I grew up. Proud about what my parents taught me. Proud of, hey, if it's all Bible, good. Be excited about that. But if it's not scriptural, discard it quickly. I mean, just be willing to say, you know what? I heard this all my life, but you know, I don't see it in the Bible, so I'm going to quit that. Just be quick to discard stuff you can't prove. Those things aren't going to lead you to life and power and glory and victory in your life.
Right.
Be quick to say, you know what? I'm aside with God.
Amen. That's right.
All right, let's go back up here. Go back to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. And then Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I'll now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush doesn't burn. So when the Lord saw that that he turned aside to look, God, you do have to look when the Lord calls. You do have to acknowledge the Lord's saying something to you. God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He said, here I am. And then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The Lord said, I've surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, heard their cry because of their taskmasters. Verse 8, so I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Skip to verse 10. Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go? And that I should bring the children out of Egypt. And then so God said, surely I'll be with you, and this will be a sign for you that I've sent you. When you brought the people out of Egypt, you'll serve God on this mountain. So Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, they say, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. King James, I am that I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am? What's I am? Well, it means he is. He that comes to God must believe that he is. And that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek. You got to believe that he is. You got to believe the I am he is. He is what? He's everything. I am. And he's got plenty of names in the scriptures. He's got every attribute you need for someone to be everything to you. I am your helper. I am. I'm everything you need. I'm your way maker. I'm your God. I'm your problem solver. I'm your victor. I'm your banner. I'm everything to you. When he says I am, that means he's with you. I am with you. I'll never leave you. He's everything to us. How big is I am? How confident could you be with I am? This is the year that God specifically said, great help this year from the great I am. I am can deliver you from that and this and this. I am can bring you into the promised land. I am is going to help you get over the hurdle that you faced for years. Put some effort into it. Put some faith into it. Learn what this I am means to you. I am means, I ain't afraid of anything. I am has delivered me, sent me, given me, covered me, protected me, jumped in the fight with me. Praise the Lord. I am your leader. I'm your helper. I'm your victor. I'm your warrior. You can just go on and on and on. He'll do everything. He's the I am that'll do everything.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory. Glory.
Verse 17. And God says, I have said I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, and Hivites, and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. So that was the promise. I'm going to bring you to this land. So all of a sudden, he's got this promise. You're supposed to hang on to the promise. Once you get the promise from God's word, you hang on to it. He'll bring it to pass. Just keep your different spirit about it. Have a spirit of faith about it. Be confident enough to say it, believe it. Don't murmur, complain. Don't look at the giants. Don't examine the impossibility. Just say it, believe it, receive it. Go on into it. Just go fight. Follow the Holy Spirit, yes. But be bold and confident enough that you'll get the promise.
That's right.
I got a promise from God. Let's go. Joshua and Caleb, let's go get it. It's okay. Don't worry. It's bread for us. We'll go get it. Praise the Lord. So we'll skip all the Exodus part, but let's go to chapter 9. skip the Exodus part. Go to chapter 9, Exodus chapter 9. And then go a little further. And go a little further. Yeah, just keep going a little further. Skip on over to Numbers. That's how far we're going to go, over to Numbers. Yes, let's skip all of that and go over to Numbers. I think we want to go to Numbers chapter 9. I knew there was a chapter 9 in here somewhere. Numbers chapter 9. We're going to skip the Exodus. We're going to skip the Law of Moses. We're going to skip the Ten Commandments, skip some of that. And get to chapter 9 of Numbers, verse 15. Now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, so God gave him all the tabernacle details, finally built it, Ark of the Covenant, all that. The day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, from evening until morning. It was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Wherever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after the children of Israel would journey, and in the place where the cloud settled, the children of Israel would pitch their tents. At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey, and at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained encamped. So you see that the cloud showed them by day and the fire by night. This is how God led them in their journey through the wilderness. Whether it was, says 2 months or 2 years, the cloud and the fire was how they knew they were in the right spot. It's a simple symbol of the Holy Spirit. So you and I are supposed to be led by, we're not supposed to be led by clouds or fires or stars or eclipses. Thank God for that. We're led by the Spirit. He wants to show us by His Spirit where we're supposed to be. So by His Spirit, you can be in the right place your whole journey into your promised land. But you will need to know the Spirit. It would be nice and easy if you could have a cloud and a fire. Oh God, could you show me a sign of a cloud? And that would be so wonderful to see a cloud and I could just follow it. Yeah, well, He did that for them because they were natural people. They were not born again. They did not have the Spirit. So all He could do is contact them with a burning bush or a fire in a cloud. He wanted something better for you and me. He wanted union with our spirit. Once He can come live in us, changes everything. Now He's got us. But now you got to do it by faith. Now you got to do it by spirit to spirit leading. And it's harder on your eyeballs. It's harder on your senses. But it's what makes God happy. Because He's got you. If you can, by His Spirit, know where to go and what to do, ooh, it really makes Him happy. And it'll really make you happy. Being led by the Spirit instead of visible stuff will actually make you happier. I mean, think about it. The children of Israel had seen all of these physical signs and they were still complaining. So physical signs won't make you smart. Physical signs does not exempt you from being an idiot. You will not grow in the Lord by physical signs. You will not grow in the Lord if you see a crying statue of Mary or an apparition on a window, some fog or something. That will not make you a stronger person. It'll make you weaker. You'll be putting your faith on stuff that you can see, which is not faith at all. So the glory of this whole thing is that God gets your spirit. And now He can flow with you and you can flow with Him and you can have this intimate relationship of trust and faith and power and glory. That's where it's all the good stuff happens, is in your spirit. Look at chapter 11. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and His anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Complaining, the result of complaining is punishment. In the Old Testament, the result of complaining was burn them up. Okay, now God's not going to burn you up for your complaining. Or tonight, while you're watching the news, you'd be burned up. Well, I just don't know. How could that happen? I don't know how that could happen. How could God? So, but what it is, it's a warning for us of the severity of your murmuring, grumbling, mumbling, complaining type of a lifestyle. It's a warning that what you're doing is very, very severe in the sight of God. Now, thank God for Jesus and His blood. He washes you and cleanses you, and He's your scapegoat. Because of Jesus, you don't have to get burned up. That's how valuable He is, even with your complaining. But it is severe for you to have a mumbling, grumbling, complaining type of a heart and mouth. Can y'all hear me back there? You got it?
Yeah.
Serious business with God.
Amen.
Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll keep reading. Verse 15. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish that we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic." I waited till the end of the service to read all these so that you could get hungry for leeks. But now our whole being is dried up. There's nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Miracle food, like this is not good enough. I want you to see what this manna was. The manna was like coriander seed, and its color like the color of bdellum. The people went about and gathered it and ground it on millstones or beat it in the mortar, cooked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. That sounds so good. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like tortilla chips. Tortilla chips. All they needed was some cheese. That's all they needed. Tortilla chips. Like corn tortilla chips are good. Flour tortilla chips cooked in oil, they're like luxury chips. Like you can go to any Mexican restaurant, they'll give you corn chips and queso or salsa. But when you order the luxury ones, you get flour tortilla chips in oil, thick, juicy, full of oil. Los Cucos, order the large queso. You'll get the luxury plate. Why were they complaining? And then they got, okay, we'll give you meat then. We'll give you quail. They got so much quail and manna, they were mad at that. Did you know that humans can get, they can just get complaining about pretty much it. Your carnal nature is pretty much a complainer. So when you're complaining, it's your carnal, sinful, fallen nature. You should be mad at it. Take any miracle and you'd be upset with it. We need to be grateful people. Yeah, the carnal nature is always upset at what it doesn't have. It'll forget all the blessing and all the goodness and all the glory and just be upset about the one thing that ain't perfect. Well, my corn chips are cold. I just can't. They're no salt and they're too salty and they're just. The way that we eat these days is so much better than the way that everybody. Without microwaves and refrigerators and ovens throughout history. So I think we just need to be careful. All right, so let's read this here. Look at chapter 12, verse 1. Then Miriam and Aaron, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? So when someone doesn't like a decision you've made, they're going to come at you spiritually. They were mad at that. Why didn't they argue about that? No, they had to go poke at some spiritual side of it. God only speaks through you? Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all the men who were on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out, and the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. And then he said, hear now my words. If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He's faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? That would be a bad principal office calling. So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. When the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. And Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. Severe. It's a good thing you don't turn leprous when you talk about God's servants. And so then they pleaded with God, oh, Lord. And God said, at least a week. She's going to keep it for a week, then she'll be fine. It's just showing, hey, listen, this is severe stuff. You don't get to talk about servants of God. And then notice what it says, verse 3, now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. I think there's two lessons here. Number one, you don't touch God's anointed. You don't speak against any chosen servant of God, okay? You don't speak against any anointed person. And you don't speak against any humble person. Now, if you were to talk about a prideful person, maybe there's a different severity. But if you start talking about an innocent one, if you start offending an innocent one, it's better if a millstone hung around your neck cast into the lake. Remember that?
Yep.
There's something about God and the humble and his anointed and his chosen. Well, for us in the new covenant, it's everybody. You're all anointed by the Spirit.
That's right.
We're all anointed. We all have the Spirit of God touching us. And we're all servants. And you should all be humble. So you should not be talking about any one of you. You certainly want to stay away from any servant, any preacher, any pastor, anybody, any leader. You would never talk about any servant of God. Ever. Well, I just don't know why. Come out. Let's have a meeting in the cloud. And let's see who passes through. Let's see after the cloud goes where you're at. There's something about being humble. God will protect you. And you would never want to talk about a humble person. You would never want to speak evil about any servant of God. Severe stuff happens. You understand how you put this over in the New Testament? And then there's instruction from the Spirit of God through Paul and others that how you're supposed to esteem those that are over you in the Lord, stuff like that. You would never speak against anybody. I remember at my first church, I encountered this. There was a lady, I was standing in the back of the church one day, and this lady, the pastor had said something or done something. I don't know what it was. I can't remember what it was. And she said, oh, I just wish he wouldn't do that. Instantly, I walked away. I'm like, ooh, I'm getting away from her. I don't know what's about to happen, but I know that's illegal. I'm just a one year Christian, 1.5 year Christian. I knew that was wrong. You don't do that. You don't voice your displeasure in what the church leaders or servants or people, you don't do that. Well, I didn't see her for about 3 or 4 weeks. And I noticed it. And I noticed it. She comes back about a month later. And I greeted her and said hello. She goes, oh, I was in the hospital. I had the worst case of shingles that they've ever seen. I thought, Wow. You do stuff like that, you'll put yourself in the camp of the devil. God's not the punisher. In this moment, he's not the punisher. But you start doing stuff like that, it will contaminate your spirit so much the devil will notice. You play with the devil. You play in the devil's camp. It's a blinking light if you're going to do that. The devil will see that, and you'll be open prey. Remember that the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Who can he devour? He can devour anybody who's not right with God in the moment. He can devour anybody who's not upright with their words. He can devour anybody who's mumbling, grumbling, complaining. Ungrateful, unthankful, can't see the glory and the victory because they're so focused on the giant. Evil report, bad report, you have to wander. Exactly. Exactly. It's sad. I want to get back to the fried tortilla stuff. I made a deal with Los Cucos. They'll get some business tonight. Let me quote a couple scriptures about being humble. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. He'll beautify the humble with salvation. Humble yourselves on the side of the Lord. He'll lift you up. Humble doesn't mean you're weak. Moses, the meekest man on the face of the earth, the most humble on the face, he killed a man. He killed a man because he was zealous for his people. So humble doesn't mean you're weak. Humble means you're submitted. Humble means you know your place and it's not too high. Humble just means you don't think of yourself more highly than you should. That's all it means. And even the lowest of the low in position can sometimes be extremely prideful, thinking that they're somebody they're not. You shouldn't be like that. We know who we are in Christ, but we don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to because we're humble people. So you have to make sure you stay in that spot. When you think your opinion is better and you think you get to voice it, you're showing that you're not very humble. So that's why we're taking away all of your Facebook accounts. No, you can keep your account, you just can't comment. No, I'm not doing this because there's some problem that I've noticed. I'm not doing it for that reason. I just kind of came up as I'm reading through this passage and these stories. Hey, these are some great, you know, teaching tips for us. I want to help you before you get lepers. I mean, I want to help you before... before there's a problem. But it does. Occasionally we'll hear of something that people have done or said. It's like, oh my gosh, that's not supposed to happen. That's not supposed to happen. The only reason it happens is because people are prideful. The only reason people can't get over the stuff is they're too prideful. What is wrong with people? Let's complain about it for a little while. No, let's not. When you and here's another one. This from 2 Chronicles. I'll quote this. But when you get corrected, whether it's in church service or reading your own Bible from the Lord, or when somebody talks to you, if you can't hear their correction, you're in trouble. Let me read you there's a couple of these examples. One of the kings did evil in the sight of the Lord his God and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet. Hey, if you do evil, admit it. If you're wrong, admit it. The problem is most people can't admit it when they're wrong. Who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. He rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar. He stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord God of Israel. You're supposed to humble yourself when you've done wrong. But do you know that you've done wrong? Can you even admit? Can anybody admit that they've ever done wrong to anybody, anywhere? You better learn how to admit that you've done wrong. Praise the Lord. All of this is true and real, isn't it?
Yes.
It's true and real stuff. Your faith can work and do miracles just like God said, just like people in the Bible did. Your mouth can make miracles happen. There's a miracle in it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God said this to Reinhard Bonnke. He said, my word in your mouth is just as powerful as my word in my mouth. Hey, if you can have some, if you have 100% faith, the word you say is going to work. It's just as powerful as God saying it. But you can't be a doubting, grumbling, mumbling. Reminds me of Monday Night Football. Fumbling, rumbling, stumbling. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. All right. Everybody got it?
Yeah.
You got a different spirit?
Yeah.
Come on, we're faith people. We're lovers of God and people. We're humble. We're servants of God. We're anointed by God. We're in this together. We're supposed to be fighting giants together, taking promised land, helping each other have their promised land.
Amen.
You know, the children of Israel, the tribes fought with each other so each tribe could get their own promised land. True tribes stayed on the one side of the river, said, we don't need that. We like it over here on this side of the Jordan, but we'll go over. And they said, they made a deal. They said, okay, but we'll go help you take the promised land, then we'll come back over here. We're helping each other get the promised land. We're helping each other get the promises of God. Your faith is needed. Your right attitude is needed for everybody's sake. This is, once you get in the family of God, it's not just about you and your four. It's not just about you having a good, successful, prosperous life in America. It's about you partaking in all the believers getting their promises. I know it's difficult. I know adding a spiritual side to your life adds more responsibility. I know it takes more time. Having a church life takes more time from you. Having a church life takes more money from you. There's responsibility if you're going to help people get their promises.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
I know it. It'd be a lot easier to do nothing spiritual and just hope to get to heaven one day. It's the bold and the courageous and those with a different spirit that say, you know what? I'm going to go fight some giants. I'm going to go walk by faith, not by sight. I'm going to take responsibility. I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to sign up to serve. I'm going to show up every time I'm needed. I'm going to make it a priority in my life. I'm going to do something for God's will. All it takes is somebody that heard the promise, heard the victory, heard the command, and say, you know what? Let's do this. Glory to God. Pretty exciting stuff, isn't it?
Thank you for joining Pastors Chaz and Joni today from Houston Faith Church. If you're looking for a good home church in Houston, Texas, we'd like to invite you to be our guest anytime. What you'll find is the Houston Faith Church is highly committed to the Word of God, the love of God, and the Spirit-filled life and ministry that Jesus expects. We know that everyone wants to make a difference in this life, and that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing for all of us. You'll find your purpose here and grow strong in faith at Houston Faith Church. Find more faith-building resources on our YouTube channel or subscribe to our free audio podcast. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. See you soon.